Wellness looks different at every stage. The right support makes all the difference. Power Performance with Vital Proteins Advanced Collagen Peptides Plus Creatine. Designed to help build and maintain muscle mass in combination with resistance exercise. It also supports healthy hair, skin, and nails. Strengthen beauty in one scoop. So your inner harmony works with your outer wellness. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit VitalProteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. In combination with resistance exercise.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/realghost and check out their more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products and get a free 30-day trial. Visit audiblepodcast.com/realghost today.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode, could a lost loved one have attached himself to the items his relatives inherited? A childhood game may have summoned something from the other side, and after clearly seeing a ghost on the roadside, a family decides to drive by to see if they see him again. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you. Would you turn around and go, hey, do you think there was a ghost?
No.
Let's go make sure.
Okay, I say no, but knowing how I behaved when I thought I saw a ghost,
yeah,
and I slammed on the brakes and backed up.
It's true.
I can't definitively say that no, I wouldn't do it again.
You did hit a chipmunk when you did that.
I did not hit any chipmunks during that.
There was like an infestation of them there. Of course, we're speaking of, what was the name of the town?
St. Elmo,
yes, in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was a fun experience. It turned out to be a mannequin hanging out in the roof or in the upper window of a old, like general store type building. And this is a place that is, you know, fairly documented to be haunted. So that is on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, you're just kind of halfway glancing. I totally, you know, I'm with you.
I didn't know that they would have done that, but that's funny that they did.
No, I like to poke fun at you for it, but I felt the same way the second I glanced to him, like, you had to take a second look.
Yeah.
I mean, you really did, but kudos to them for screwing with the tourists. That is a fun thing to do when you live in a tourist area.
I bet.
So, I'm interested to hear that story. And, of course, your calls 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I think we got one of the best endorsements we could get on about our EPP shows. People like sometimes post, oftentimes they post how much they like the episodes,
mm-hmm,
and how good they think they are. But I thought this one kind of stood out. Somebody posted on our Facebook page, Rachel did. It says, I'm 2 days into being an EPP. I gleefully joined after 24 hours of stumbling on you guys on a Spotify. And I'm about an inch from sleeping with a baseball bat under my pillow. Well done. I'm officially hooked. So,
yeah,
thank
it'll
you.
Do that.
Thank you, Rachel, for that endorsement. That's nice. I don't know if a baseball bat would really help you, though, for most of the shit we talk about on some of these episodes.
If it makes you feel better, then that's fine.
Vial of holy water with the baseball bat, you know, make it, you know, and on some of the zombie video games now,
mm-hmm,
there, you know, you're out there fighting the zombies and you basically kind of craft weapons, if you will. And sometimes it's a baseball bat, and then you attach like a meat cleaver to it or something. So I suppose you could kind of do something up like that with, sage encrusted baseball bat with that. When you hit it, it sprays holy water, and I don't know what else would work. I mean, there's been so many things. Oils, I know, have been another thing. I'm just trying to think of all the things that people say they use. Salts to rid their homes and stuff of the undead.
Well, I have to say kudos to the people that fall asleep listening to us, because that's why we record at 3:00 in the afternoon every day. So I have at least 6 to 7 hours to get this out of my mind before I have to fall asleep.
We did used to record in the evenings right before bed.
Yeah.
We really did.
We changed it.
Do you sleep better now?
I do.
Is it
I do sleep better now.
We're still not allowed to listen to. I used to years ago, before I ever met Jenny, I used to listen to, you know, the late night, you know, paranormal shows on the radio before the world of podcasting. And I loved listening to the ghost ones. They were just creepy, but that is forbidden.
And I feel bad about that. I know it's kind of hypocritical, but you got to do what you got to do to sleep.
She won't even watch our talking ghost episodes. So,
I've not seen
or
one
seeing
yet.
Ghost episodes.
I
yeah,
have not seen one yet.
So there you go. It's kind of funny. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It comes into us here from Anna. Anna writes in, "Hello, Jenny and Tony. I love your show and have been listening for 2 or 3 years now and have decided to finally share my story. I'm also hoping that if my parents hear y'all read my story, they will get me an EPP subscription that I've been asking for a while now." Any parent that truly loves their children will get them an EPP subscription.
Oh, come on.
If you, it's a sign of really not caring for your child if they don't get you one.
Most children should not be listening to those episodes.
I'm getting the girls EPP subscriptions for their birthdays.
I don't think so.
They're only, she'll be 4 and then it'll be 10. I think that's appropriate.
Sure.
Anyway, here's my story. My grandpa has passed away fairly recently around the time of this story. After he died, I asked my dad to get me his old piggy bank. His piggy bank was a yellow smiley face with black eyes. Now, the reason I asked for this was because the few times I got to visit my grandpa, he lived in Florida and we live in Virginia. I always remembered seeing that piggy bank. Near the end of my grandpa's life, we all knew his time was coming soon, and my dad was with him at the hospital. I called him the day before he passed away and told him that I loved him. The next day, he passed away, which was a blessing because he couldn't remember much near the end except me, which always makes me smile. So I have the piggy bank in my room now, and for the first couple of weeks, his smell, you know how everyone has a distinctive smell, would ever so often waft into my room. I took this as his way of telling me he was there. I immediately told him that I love him and miss him, but I'd be even happier if he crossed over. The smell stopped after that. However, that Halloween, we had used a little tea light that turned on with a little switch in the bottom. We used these lights to lead people to our house because all of the neighbors came to our house, but no kids would come because it was too dark. Anyway, the next night I put them around my bed in my room. I knew they wouldn't last for much longer as the batteries didn't last long, so I turned them on and left them on all night. The next morning, they were all off, so I assumed they were dead. That night I went to sleep and my mom came in and said, "Oh, that's where all the tea lights went." I was half asleep and just assumed she saw them off on my shelves. However, when I opened my eyes, I watched as they all turned on one by one around me in order around my room. This would not have freaked me out if they had turned on randomly, but not this thing. They turned on in order around me. So I freaked out and ran to my mom. When I told her what happened, she told me she saw them turning on, but just ignored it. When my dad was told of this, he came into my room and took all the tea lights and hid them. I'm not a very religious person, but I was praying till I fell asleep. I typed this and didn't call in because I wanted to hear Tony read it. I love y'all's show and keep doing what you're doing. And also, Tony, I love your weird love for bunk beds, shadow people with hats, and quiche. Bye. Okay, tea light
battery
operated light expert over there.
I was gonna say that I'm somewhat of a know-it-all on battery candles.
He's a connoisseur of battery candles.
I love battery candles. Anyway, the little tea light ones like that, most of them are too small to have a timer.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, from the little votive size down to the tea light size, I have yet to find those. And if somebody knows where to find them with a timer, please let me know. But I've yet to find them with a timer, so I don't think they're out there yet. I think it's just the larger ones. So I don't know what would be causing them to turn off and on their own.
I'm calling in. Hi. Is this Real Ghost Stories Online?
Yeah.
I was listening to your show, and I heard that you were wanting to find tea lights with timers.
You found them?
Amazon.
Okay.
Right here.
Then that's a possibility. That's always a possibility that somehow they were set, you know, to go off and come on at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. That could be because when you do set those, they do that. The tea lights that we have in our house is kind of funny. It's like Haunted Mansion. If you're awake when they're going off, because we have some in our bedroom, And they will literally one by one turn off. And it's it's kind of creepy.
It is.
And they'll also turn on one by one in the order in which they were turned on, as long as their timer is still in sync. So that could be something. That could be that part of it, mm-hmm. the tea lights. But the smell and stuff, that you know, that's a little different.
That is different. And the fact that it stopped once she said for Grandpa to cross over.
Sure.
Kind of makes me wonder if maybe he wasn't sticking around just a little bit longer.
Yeah, and it would be also interesting to see if the tea lights continued to do that after that, because it would be a pattern. It would continue unless they just got rid of them or something after that. But so that's an example of a story where some of it could be explainable. Not all of it may be paranormal, but you know, the other half very much odd. In terms of what could be possibly paranormal. So interesting.
You know I'm going to order those now.
I found it. They're right there. I can click order now.
It's the little bitty ones?
They're not quite as tiny, but they're still would be considered a tea light.
Yeah, so. I think I'm going to need those.
Okay. We're going to put those into the in the toilet bowl so we can have that part lit up in the... That's a great idea.
Oh, God.
Someone should make, although it would probably get flushed.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that. I think it's been one of the... Actually, I have seen that. It's one of those random things where every once in a while, you know, on Facebook, you get the suggested, you know, buy this. I don't know how the hell this was a suggested post for me. Because sometimes I'm like, why would you suggest that one? Like, some algorithm is off here. But it was something about, like, a light-up toilet seat.
Oh, sure.
Where... And it was, like, fun colors. It was, like, you know... It almost kind of looked like you're having a rave on the potty. But that's really what it was like. I'm like, well, that's fun. I don't know any sane person that would put that on their toilet, but
little
okay.
Kids.
Sure. But I think this was kind of more so not necessarily targeting little kids.
Oh.
I don't know.
Because, see, I could see like our 3-year-old going and enjoying that because it is dark and most kids rather just go in their pull up.
She'd never get off the potty then.
No.
She'd be like, I'm going to the potty party. And it would be, that would be it. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I have a jar in this office that actually still holds the scent of my grandparents' home.
Yes, you do.
It's weird. And I filled it with candy. It's an old candy jar. It's an old ball jar is all it is. And it used to be on their counter, and as a kid, I used to go in there and get lemon drops, you know, the little candy ones. And it was just, you know, it's a fun memory. Mm-hmm. It was always a fun thing. And then when they had passed and they were kind of, you know, it's getting rid of the stuff from the house, and what do you want? Like, I want the candy jar. I want that, and I wanted a painting from the basement. That was it. And I got that, and it's funny because I put lemon drops in, and it's on the shelf here, and you would think that eventually that smell would kind of be gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the candy in the jar, just the sugars and all that. But I swear to God, it's been like at least in here for a year or so.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go open it up right now.
Okay.
It still smells. Got it right here. Lemon drops. Still smells like their house.
Okay.
Smell. No, take a whiff. Take a whiff. That's what my grandma and grandma's house smelled like.
That is too funny.
It's weird. And it doesn't smell like lemon drops. It's not like, oh, their house smelled like lemon drops. No.
It smells nothing like lemon drops.
It smells like an old person's house. It does. There's a scent to that. And I say that lovingly and affectionately. But it's so weird that that has never changed.
But that is so neat, though.
It is neat. Because scents are obviously one of those things that really, you know, they can take you back very quickly. And the second, I could smell 20 different things or 50 different things with my eyes shut when I hit that one. I'd be like, that's Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I don't know why or how. I mean, I know you trap out. I mean, there's a little lid on it. I'm sure it's not super airtight, but I don't know. It's just kind of weird. It's my haunted candy jar. Although I do enjoy it. So there you go. Hey, Audible offering our listeners right now a 30-day trial membership. You just go to audiblepodcast.com/realghost. And you can get that 30-day trial membership with that. You get a free audiobook, so that's always good. I'd like to recommend one of them to you. And by the way, there's over 180,000 to choose from for your free audiobook when you get your a free 30-day trial membership at audiblepodcast.com/realghost. This is called It's Haunted, The Incredible True Story of a Canadian Family's Experience Living in a Haunted House. It's by Adora Williams. And it's a good story. It really kind of covers a lot of the stuff we talk about on this show. And it's described as being a fairly irrational decision to buy this beautiful old Victorian home. It's one of those stories where the family is drawn to the property, and for whatever reason, they don't know why, but they end up buying the home against the odds, against, you know, common sense. They get the house, and once they're in it, they kind of get settled in. They're a little curious, you know, because the past owners many a times turned it over very quickly, multiple owners, and they're wondering why. Strange stuff starts happening around the house. You guessed it, it's haunted. And they finally have to accept the fact that they are living in a haunted house. And then it turns into not just the novelty of living in a haunted house, but living in fear. They went through a lot of horrific, very, very scary things in this home. Very, very telling book of what life is living in a haunted house. It'll make you go, maybe I'll second guess that thought of I wish I lived in a haunted house.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have that thought, and then they hear the stories of what it's like living in a truly haunted home. So I would suggest that one. It's your choice, though. That book, again, it's called Haunted, The Incredible True Story of a Canadian Family's Experience Living in a Haunted House. Dora Williams is the author. And you can get it for free with your 30-day trial membership when you go to audiblepodcast.com/realghost. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. Check it out and enjoy that free 30-day trial membership and free audiobook on us. Char writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just want to say that I love the show and I'm a proud EPP. Just became an EPP not too long ago. And I've already gone through all of the shows. The show is so addicting. I've had some paranormal experiences all of my life and I have a few stories to share. First, I want to congratulate her on going through all the shows because that's a lot of shows to go through.
That is a ton.
So, bless you. That's amazing. I will share this one first about my experience with Bloody Mary or a spirit in my apartment. I'm not sure what it was, but I will explain. When I was younger, around 9 or 10, I went to a daycare center every day after school until my mother came to pick me up. I'd interact with the kids from my school and other kids that went to other surrounding schools in the area. One day, a group of kids and I were sitting around talking about random things that kids talk about. Someone brought up the topic of Bloody Mary and telling us how to see her. This was my first time hearing about this, so I was amazed by this and scared at the same time. But I kept listening. I wish I would have walked away because that night was one of the scariest things that have ever happened to me. My mother eventually came to pick me up, and I couldn't stop thinking about the conversation from earlier. Fast forward, it was eventually time for bed, and I was scared as hell. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment that we shared with my grandmother. My grandmother was asleep in her room, and I was in bed with my mother, which I was supposed to be asleep. It's like my mind kept repeating Bloody Mary, and I couldn't get it to stop. And this seriously freaked me out, because nothing has ever happened to me like that before. I know that you're supposed to be in front of a mirror saying it, but something happened without me being in front of a mirror. All of a sudden, I saw our closet door open slowly. At that point, I felt my heartbeat out of my chest. It was impossible for the door to open because everyone else was asleep besides me. I closed my eyes really tight and started to pray for safety, but I felt an unknown presence there walking by our bed. I opened my eyes to see a woman looking out our window. All I can remember is that she had long hair and she had a dress on. I was sweating so hard at this point, and I'm shaking like crazy. I'm surprised that my mother didn't wake up at this point. I closed my eyes again to continue to pray, but I felt the woman come close to me. She got really close, and so much so that I could feel her cold whispers as she spoke to me. I couldn't make out what she was saying, but she touched my face, and it felt like she scratched me. After she did that, she was gone. I'm not sure at all how I managed to get to sleep, but it did happen. I woke up the next day and I didn't have anything on my face. That scared me even more because I felt her scratch me, and it was real. To this day, I don't know who the woman was or why she was really there if she wasn't Bloody Mary. This may not seem scary, but it truly terrified me, and it still gets me to this day. That experience seemed to wake up in me and wake me up and realize that the paranormal world actually exists. I can say to this day that I can't sleep in a completely dark room and I have to have my TV on when I sleep. I have plenty of more stories to share, and I'll do that soon, but before I end this, I'd like to ask this. At what point is sleep paralysis considered a mind thing? When is it considered paranormal? I have some very scary experiences with that, and I'd like to know what your thoughts are on it. I love the show, and I'll continue to listen. Keep up the good work.
I don't think that the actual Bloody Mary came to visit her. But I do think maybe by talking to her friends about it or whatever she tried may have opened her up to that experience.
And something took that form because it knew that it was going to be ripe for the picking, if you will, on scaring a child.
Sure.
That was the current form. If they'd been talking about werewolves earlier in the day, it could have come in that form or whatever form. It's like what a dark entity would do.
Right, right. And, you know, that's a possibility. There's always the possibility of a nightmare, that this was all a nightmare. But being that it was so vivid and she understands that, you know, obviously she understands the difference between a dream and reality, I'm thinking maybe something just decided to take that opportunity to show itself.
Sure. Have you ever, and I want to answer her question too, but I want to ask this first. Have you ever been confused by if something was a dream or reality looking back on it? I mean, it's probably just a personal thing and how we all perceive things, so I'm sure it's a little bit different. But I can honestly say I haven't. I have never looked back on any experience that I've had and gone, I'm not quite sure if that was a dream or if it was, like, I'm 100% certain I know what I dreamt and I know what I was going on in reality around me. Even in the middle of the night, even when weird things would happen, weird dreams, even dreams that I dreamt I was in my bed and shit was going on. I've had that. And then I can still say for certain what was a dream and what wasn't.
I've never had an experience where after the fact, after I'm awake, thinking back about it, I'm not sure if it happened or not.
Mm-hmm.
I've had plenty of dreams that were so real that I didn't know until I woke up. And I'm like, oh, thank God I really didn't kill that person or whatever.
Because, sure.
You know.
She kills a lot of people in her dreams.
No.
But
but still, you know, everybody has those kinds of dreams. But
sure.
As far as the confusion while you're awake, as far as something in the past happening for real or not.
Yeah.
I've never really had that.
You knew after the fact that it was a dream.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what really matters. And we've all had that where you're dreaming and you think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
But once things are back to normal and you're going, no, that was a dream. I wonder how many times people do have something paranormal happen to them. And, you know, just being a human and not wanting to have to deal with the thoughts or the repercussions or just the thinking of, oh, wait a second, that this really was real, that it's just written off as that had to have been a dream.
Yeah.
Because it's just too many weird, freaky things. If you were to admit to yourself, especially if you don't believe in ghosts, if you were having to then admit to yourself that this was in fact, reality that was going on around you, that concept opens up so many other doors and it's far too much to take on. I mean, it's like how people are with anything, with politics, with anything that, is outside of their belief system.
Sure.
If it's not quite in line with something that you've always been on, it can be a very scary concept to take on and try and understand and then readjust your belief system, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how often that happens. Answering the question, sleep paralysis, when is it paranormal, when is it not? I would say when you can... I mean, it's impossible to really know, I think, in a lot of cases, but the times where we actually can say, okay, this is definitively something beyond just a total something in your mind that's really freaky and something that's parallel into the reality, is when, in fact, you are wide awake and there is some sort of connection.
Like some sort of evidence that something really happened.
Exactly. That it's not just, you know, you remember it, because the mind can do a lot of crazy things, and there's plenty of sleep paralysis experiences that have nothing to do with paranormal. They're just freaky as hell. But there's plenty, too, who have something connected to it because there's some sort of piece of evidence that connects it in reality, that otherwise was not there or happens shortly thereafter, that was foretold. You know, there's so many ways. So some place where it can be connected. And that's not to say that some of those where there is no connection, that you can actually make those connections, and I keep saying connections, that some of those are not paranormal, but that seems to be one of the only ways to really confirm it.
Right. Because, like, we've had stories where something, you know, people felt like something was attacking them. They wake up the next day and they've got red marks where something literally attacked them.
Sure.
Or something was going around breaking things, and they wake up the next day and there's broken things in their room. So you've got those pieces of evidence.
Yeah.
That's what makes the difference.
So that's how we look at that. So thank you for the story and the question. Samantha writes in, hello, let me first start off by saying that my fiance and I are huge fans of the show. My experiences occurred when I was 13 years old. I'm now 22. I grew up in a small town called Big Rock, about an hour out of Chicago. I had been friends with these two sisters 2 years prior to my experiences. I never considered myself to be sensitive in any way, so when the sisters and their mother told me ghost stories from their childhood and recent ones, I brushed them off. That is until one story in particular. The mother told me a story about how she was in the basement changing laundry, and she saw in the corner of her eye a black dog-like figure. She just decided to investigate, only to find there was no sign of a dog in the basement, nor did she hear anything run up the steps, which she would consider it was an older farmhouse. She went upstairs to see if maybe one of the two border collies were inside, only to discover they were both outside still. Like to add, no matter what side you're looking at either of these dogs, it's clear they are black and white, not full black. Needless to say, their house always gave me the creeps. Fast forward 3 years since that incident, I was age 13. The younger sister and I were walking down the basement stairs, and I see the black dog run past us at the bottom of the steps and disappear into the other room. I turned around so fast I felt like I couldn't get up the steps fast enough. As soon as I got upstairs, I looked into the family room to find their two collies asleep by the fireplace. I know for a fact that was not either of the dogs, because it was larger than any dog I've seen and 100% black. That incident has been on my mind ever since, and I don't know why someone like me, who's never seen a ghost, would see such a strong apparition. After that, I'd been in that house so many times and never saw that dog thing again. 1 year later, I was at the same house sitting in the living room, and I heard the younger sister crying. At least I thought I did. So naturally, I called out asking, "What's wrong, Cassie?" After hearing the crying stop and no response, I got up to walk into the next room, and no one was there. Didn't even hear footsteps prior to walking into that room. I walked into the bathroom where Cassie was taking a shower, and she was still in there. I asked if she was just in the other room crying, and she said no. I had no reason to not believe her, not to mention there was no evidence that she had snuck into that room trying to spook me. I look forward to hearing what you two think of this story.
I think beyond the fact of the mother and the sisters putting the idea of the house being haunted into your mind, I think things are going on, because you saw more than just what they said they saw, being the dog. You had the, well, I shouldn't say saw, you had the experience of the crying in the other room. So
yeah,
there's something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's, you can be influenced by what they're saying, but there's obviously, it goes beyond, like she just said, exactly what they're just saying. Oh, this is just that. You have something there. What it is, I don't know.
No.
It's hard to tell. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Carnell Jr. writing in, "I've decided to write in after enough weird things have been going on in my house. As background to where I live, my house was built in 2001, and my family has been the first ones to move into and have been in the house for 15 years now. Over the course of the years, there's been a few on and off unexplained things going on that make me stop and think about them. One time, the automatic light in my dad's office turned on by itself when it was only me, my mother, and my grandmother on the other side of the house, meaning there was no way it could have switched on alone. At first, I thought it was someone trying to steal his flat screen. However, none of us saw any signs of forced entry. Everything was left untouched, and none of us heard any doors open. Our house is small enough to where we can all hear the front and back doors open from our rooms, as long as we keep our room doors open. I've tried writing it off just as a malfunction or bad wiring, but since it happens It hasn't turned itself on again when we had no one in that office. Another fun story is how we had a framed picture standing on a home theater speaker fall off and over by itself, which normally isn't a strange thing to happen, but it's been in that same spot for well over a year without anything ever moving it at all. So there should have been no reason for it to happen. The good thing, at least, is that even though there's a good amount of freaky things going on, no one in the house at all has ever had anything scary enough to make us run out of the house or feel threatened. Seem like whatever's here just wants us to not forget that it's here.
So what do you think on the light first?
Well, that, you know, if the switch was flipped up, there's not a whole lot of explanation for that.
No.
I mean, it's one of those things, if it was kind of, you know, halfway there and got jiggled up or whatever, I mean, there's, you know, there are some ways of explaining that. But when you actually have physical things moving, it's kind of like the knobs on a radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, I've had radios, digital radios, really go on the fritz sometimes, not where a knob is turning, but it's just starts scanning.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a any sort of anomaly. Right there where static, you know, somehow triggered that circuit and that sort of thing happened. But when you physically have the objects moving, that's where it gets a little more weird.
Yeah.
So, and then with the picture falling, you know, that could be anything. It was on a speaker. Speakers do vibrate no matter how small they are. And over time it may just have gotten to its point. But again, it's another physical thing moving, so I don't know. I would assume there's probably some more going on there. There's probably more feeling in this than he described,
mm-hmm.
as far as feeling like there's something in the house.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was wondering about the speaker vibrations, you know,
sure.
with over time, you know, moves the tiniest little bit mm-hmm. to eventually where it has to fall. But
sure.
Yeah, I get the feeling there's more going on. And if there is, I want to hear more about it.
And now that you've shared it with us, now they're really going to be pissed off. So be prepared for that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm kidding. So there you go. Thank you for sharing your story. Yang writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. This isn't actually a ghost story, but on the episode called Persnickety Ghost, which I love the title of, that Jenny came up with.
Thank you.
I don't think I've used the word persnickety in, I don't know, 20 years? And I'm like, that's awesome. I love that word. I'm going to use it more. You guys are talking about how if Tony were to lose feeling in your legs, you'd probably thought that you had a stroke. You're hilarious, Tony. And you then were talking about marketing something like Demon Away or some remedies for sleep paralysis. Anyway, it got me thinking. I actually sent in a story, and it was read a few months back. It was about my experience with paralysis, and I saw the old hag, but she was dressed in Hmong clothing. It got me thinking about submitting a remedy for sleep paralysis. Growing up, I remember hearing the older folks saying that if sleep paralysis happens to you a lot, you should keep a pocket knife under your pillow or next to you when you sleep. Now, it doesn't have to be an actual knife. It could be a cutout from a cardboard or wood, just as long as it takes the form of a knife. I was really never told the reason why you should do something like this, but I'd imagine it's supposed to keep the sleep paralysis from happening or to keep bad spirits away. I see it as a different type of protection from the bad spirits while you sleep. I've only heard this working once. Sleep paralysis would constantly happen to my friend, so I told him about putting a knife or a pocket knife by him when sleeping. He told me that sleep paralysis happened to him again, but during his dream and sleep paralysis, he took out the knife and started stabbing the air. Ever since then, he said it has never happened to him again. I always sleep with my knife by my bed now after my experience. You can take what you want from it. If anyone out there has any problems with sleep paralysis and decides to try this, I want to know if it works for you. Again, love your show. Keep up the good work, and I'm planning on becoming an EPP soon. Yang from good old Osh Vegas, Wisconsin.
You know, I actually think maybe this is more psychological than anything.
How do you stab something when you're in the sleep paralysis state is my question, because that normally means you're not the paralysis part.
It ends the paralysis. What I'm thinking is, for one, you either have this sense of security by having this knife under your pillow,
yeah.
and that helps, or it's so close that just the slightest movement to get it breaks you out of that sleep paralysis.
Uh-huh.
Which then obviously ends the sleep paralysis incident. I think it's more psychological than anything, because you obviously don't even need a real knife.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of the symbolism, I guess, there.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It's something that, you know, may have been thought of at one time as this will actually help you, mm-hmm. if you have to fight the entity or whatever is going on in your mind, because I think probably for a long time, the consideration of it being something just in your mind was not even there. It was probably always thought of as being an entity. And then having the weapon there would help. And it probably did help, because psychologically it made the what people calm down.
Yeah.
From getting into that situation, and for whatever reason, it provided enough comfort for them to go into a deeper sleep than getting stuck in the sleep paralysis zone. Mm-hmm. So I think you're exactly right.
Yay.
But an interesting little piece of sleep paralysis history there.
So I'm guessing something, you know, other than a knife could probably do the same thing.
I probably think anything, you know, comforting that you feel would protect you from something, although it's an undead spirit, so I don't know what.
So yeah. Like Rebecca that wrote in and told us about her EPP episode sign up and sleeping with the baseball bat.
Yeah, exactly.
That would work.
Yeah, do the baseball bat that's laced in sage and holy water. That would be better than putting your 22 right there, because it's probably not best to have that readily available at that point of groggery,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the night. At least not quite that accessible, right on the bedstand. So anyway, thank you for sharing that story with us. Gemma writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your podcast for a few moments now, and I've recently become an EPP. I'm from South Wales in the UK and love ghost stories, even though I end up getting scared. Anyway, I've wanted to share my ghost story for a while. I turned 14 on December 7th, 1997, which is why I remember the date. A week later on, December 14th, my family and I went to visit my grandma, who resided in a nursing home in Aberbeg, South Wales, after suffering from Alzheimer's for many years. I was with my mom, my auntie Dawn, my sister, and my two cousins. We left the nursing home around 6 p.m., and to get my aunt and cousins home, we had to go across Aberbeg, I'm sorry if I'm slaughtering the name of this town, Aberbeg or Beg, I believe, road, which was a very dark and winding road with tall trees on either side, hardly any street lights. The trees run parallel to an old train track. The week before, my mom and Auntie Dawn, who I should mention was always very sensitive to the paranormal, had come across this very same road and came home to tell me they thought they had seen a ghost. They described him as a tall man with a flat cap on his head and a long jacket. He'd appeared out of the trees, and as my mom drove past him, they realized he was not quite right, and they looked around, and he disappeared. My mom told me the story, and she was pretty spooked, but I was 14 and had an attitude, so I was like, yeah, right. Anyway, that night I was squashed in the back seat with my sister and cousins. My mom was driving, and my aunt was sat in the front passenger seat. We're just coming up to a bend in the road, and I was already nervous due to the darkness of the night. Light fog that drifted around and the trees that seemed to loom over you on either side, when all of a sudden my aunt says, wouldn't it be funny if we saw a ghost again? As we came around the bend, I heard my mom scream, oh my God, there he is. And lo and behold, he was. My mom described the ghost as a tall man in a long jacket that came to his knees. He wore a flat miner's cap on his head, slightly bowed as if he was looking at the floor. I couldn't see much of his face, but his eyes were big and black. The most striking thing to me was his legs were moving, but he had no feet. Down, there was nothing, and he seemed to be walking in the curb and not on it, as if that makes sense. He appeared a sort of green glowing thing. His hairs on my body shot up, and all we could do in the car was scream. My first glimpse at him had been looking through the front window from the back of the car, but now my mom drove past him, and in her fright, it was as if she slowed the car down and we went past him in slow motion, giving me a clear view of him. Thank God he did not look at me. He just kept his head down. Everyone was still screaming, but as we looked out the back window of the car, he simply disappeared. Needless to say, I was terrified, and I slept with my mother for a few months afterward. I'll still not drive down that road in the dark, and especially not in the winter. I think we were all screaming, as it's quite unnerving to see a real ghost that close, but I realize how, looking back, all I got from him was a feeling of sadness and loneliness. The interesting thing about this story is that it is a documented ghost story on that road that tells of a policeman named Hosea Pope, who died in 1911 after he was murdered trying to detain a prisoner. And they give us a link to that story. However, I can't say that the ghost we saw was so very clearly dressed as a policeman with a tall hat, as the hat I saw was clearly flat. We could have indeed seen the ghost of unfortunate Hosea Pope, or maybe it was another spirit, who knows. I know that many people have seen him wandering the roads. One nurse from my grandma's nursing home even stopped and offered him a lift. He simply stared at her, and then walked off into the trees, and then disappeared. My dearest Auntie Dawn, who sadly passed away last year, always had these weird things happen to her, and her house was full of ghosts. I think they were trying to communicate with her, and maybe we saw that ghost that night as she was in the car with us. I myself do think I'm also a little sensitive. I do see things out of the corner of my eye, and just before I enter, I either go to sleep or wake up, I can sense something by me, but when I wake and look, there's nothing there. I've been told by a psychic previously my grandma is trying to talk to me, but as I'm terrified of these things, I refuse to listen. Anyway, hope you like my story. I'm quite happy that I've seen one ghost in my life, and one is enough for me. Love your podcast. Keep up the good work. Gemma in Wales.
With the repeating of Long Jacket, I've got that song in my head about the I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
Oh, yeah, that's an old song.
That is an old song.
What is? I can't even think of the melody, but I know the line. I know the line.
But now I've got it in my head. I see a ghost with a flat cap and a long jacket.
Oh. I know what you're...
Sorry.
Is it The Offspring?
I have no idea who sang that.
I don't know. It's one of the... It's 90s, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember playing that on the air.
It's stuck in my head now.
I could be completely wrong. That's a creepy story.
I don't know that I would have gone back or wanted to go down that same road.
That's where you really wish you had a dash cam.
Yeah.
To capture one of those things. With that becoming more and more popular, I mean, I know in Russia they seem to have tons of them because that's what caught that meteorite a couple years back. And I don't know how common they are in Europe. I think probably somewhat. And they're slowly kind of becoming into play here in the States now, too.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how often we're going to be getting more pictures and images and video and things like that that are going to be documented because it's another place things are being filmed. I mean, we had one recently where it was from a trucker of something they saw out on the road. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how often, and it's common in the trucking industry to have them, but just, you know, Joe Schmo, us having one, not super common yet.
No, or how often it's not going to show up on the camera, but you're going to hear the people freaking out.
Sure.
I don't know. Is there any audio on those?
I don't know. It probably depends on the model you have.
I know police ones have audio.
Sure.
But I don't know if regular ones do.
Or vice versa, where things are showing up on the camera and not to the naked eye. Yeah. Interesting.
Fun.
Very creepy. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802. You've heard us talking about EPP quite a bit. That's the extra podcast people stuff. They get extra podcast of the show every single week. You get the bonus episode. It comes out on Fridays, so you can enjoy that on your Friday commute or over the weekend or however you want to on the days we're not releasing the regular free show. And it is packed with some of the best stories that we have. We make a point of making sure that every single story on that episode is you know, just a little step above. It's the best stories that we get that we put onto that show. So you don't want to miss that. There's about 80 of those now that you can download. You get access to all of them when you sign up. You get a brand new one every week. Get access to our exclusive video content, including our new monthly feature, Seeing Ghosts, with ghost photos exclusively available there. And all sorts of other nifty extras, if you will, for being an EPP. $5 a month is all we ask. And that, my friends, is the main source of funding the show and keeping it on the air. All the bandwidth and all the other costs that go along with putting this thing out here. So if you like the thing, like the show, please consider supporting it and helping to keep us on the air. Because we are pretty much a crowdfunded show. So that's how we do it. EPPs, $5 a month. Click realghoststoriesonline.com and become an EPP to be part of it. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sue from Illinois. I was calling to relay a story about spirits and ghosts and what I feel that sometimes happens to them. I'll try to keep this short and not go into a great deal of detail, but my grandmother, who I was extremely close to, ended up, she got sick, and she was in the hospital for quite a while. She was going to come home, and the night before she was to come home, I kept having a strange dream that I was on a school bus. I live in the country, and my two little boys rode a school bus that carried kids from kindergarten to 12th grade. I was going around on the school bus inviting everybody to my son's birthday party and then telling them my grandma just died. And I went up and down the aisles doing that, which was strange because in my dream I knew that it was not my son's birthday. It wasn't anywhere near his birthday. My phone rang, and I answered it, and it was my dad. And I should always know when he starts out the conversation, "So how are you today?" And I relayed the weird dream because I just couldn't shake it that I was having. And he kind of choked up because it's his mother. We called him Grandma Pudge. Anyway, he relayed that she had passed away actually in the night. But somehow they had revived her. And what was odd about that was her heart had been damaged from having a massive heart attack so many times. So how they revived her, I don't know. I immediately got dressed, ran to the hospital. I walked into the room. She had a private room. And I knew my grandmother was not in that room. The room was very dimly lit. She was clear across. It was a large room. And she was clear across the room, and I knew that was not my grandmother. I knew that that was a vessel that looked like my grandmother, but I knew that was not my grandmother. I didn't feel her. She never responded. She, they said, was brain dead. And they had done EEGs, I think. I'm so bad about medical terms. But anyway, she had no brain movement or waves. And she was on a resuscitator. I sat for 9 days straight because she was like my special mom. And we did everything together, including my boys. She adored them. On the 10th day that I walked in, the room was different. I could feel her in that room. They had her laying differently and in a different, they had her laying on her back. She had been very, very swollen the first, day I walked in of the 9 days that I sat with her. On the 10th day when I arrived, she was on her back. And San Francisco had just had one of their largest earthquakes. And I'm not going to give a date because I'm bad about it. And people were making fun of me on YouTube about my dates being wrong. And I had one podcast before you aired one of my podcasts. I got the date wrong. So anyway, she was very proud of her hair. She looked like Mrs. Santa Claus is what my grandmother looked like. Beautiful blue eyes, great big smile, rosy cheeks, beautiful white, thick, wavy hair. And she was very proud of her appearance and her hair. And they had left the gel in her hair that they use when they put those like little electrodes or whatever on her head. So because it felt so different in there, I actually went up to her and I said, Grandma Susie, I'm going to take a wet washcloth and I'm going to wash out your hair because I know how much that means to you to look pretty and to have all the waves in it. We'll comb it dry and make sure that it's the way that you've always liked it. And I told her first, before I did her hair, I was going to wash her face. So I gently took the washcloth across her forehead and across her eyes and her face, and her eyes started to move. They were still closed, but they started moving. And I thought, well, what kind of reaction is that? Because for 9 days, that woman did not move whatsoever. My grandmother didn't twitch. She didn't move. And I'm telling you, her soul was not in her body. So I said to her, "Grandma, can you hear me?" And her eyelashes started fluttering. And I said, "If you can hear me, squeeze my hand," which her hand was kind of in a cupped position, but had never moved. I stuck my hand in, and she had grabbed a hold of it, and she had squeezed it. And I said, "Oh my gosh, you can hear me." And her eyes fluttered open, and she looked up, straight up. And her eyes were as clear as a cornflower blue summer sky. They weren't milky, they weren't cloudy, they were alert. And I said to her, I'd made the decision. I felt like I had been given the opportunity to make the decision, not to hold on or beg her for selfish reasons to hang on, because I know she would not want to be live in that condition, because they said that she could live like that for 20 years or more, like a vegetable. Anyway, she started crying because I said to her, "I'm ready to let you go, and I want you to go to the light, and I want you to be with Grandpa and with your mom and dad and all your brothers and sisters, and I want you to be pain-free and happy, because I know I'll have you every day of my life. You'll be there, like you'll be next to me, always there." And she continued to cry and squeeze my hand. So I started yelling for the nurse. And as I'm yelling for the nurse and holding her hand, I'm dialing the phone on the side of the bed to call and tell my dad about my grandmother. And my dad was just freaking out because they had told us there's no way. The nurse ran in and she was observing it, and she kept looking at me very strangely and said, "Well, you know, not everybody is the same, and we do have, you know, odd things do happen." Later, after my grandma passed, she passed the next morning, my dad told me that they had allowed me to stay in the intensive care unit while she was getting better, because every time she would start to go into a coma, I would bring her out of it. So she was in that corner area of the ICU, and they were studying me unbeknownst to me. And as I said, my dad told me later, after I told him how odd the nurse was about watching me with her and the things that she was saying when she was watching my grandmother come to. Now, were they bodily functions? That possibly, but for 9 days I watched, and she didn't make a move. And I was there day and night with her. I had just gone home on the 10th day to clean up, take care of my kids a little bit, and go back up there. I do have more to tell about her, about phone calls from heaven, and how my dad tried to have the phone company trace the calls and different things with the electricity that we know were my grandma. But I've used up enough of your time. I'm not sure that you want to hear those things, but that's how we know she was quote-unquote haunting us. I think they were haunts of love. She was just letting us know she was around, but she was making her presence known. Thanks a lot. I enjoy the podcast immensely. Love everybody's story, and like that you and Jenny both seem to play very well off of each other and just enjoy each other and what you do. Blessings. Good night.
I think that she and her grandmother had such a connection. That's how she knew before she even got the call that something had happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously the grandmother knew just by the feel that her presence was there.
Yeah. I think it was, if you believe in things that were like meant to be, meant to happen, you know, that connection obviously, you know, was certainly there. And probably, you know, it was whatever was connecting them together at that time to help her grandmother get the permission, you know, or just the assurance that it's okay to cross over. It all just worked out the way it should have worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very, very good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. There you go. Not all ghost stories are super creepy.
No.
So you can share those too if you have them. We would love to hear them. 855-853-4802. What are you looking at me like that for?
Thing.
Oh,
what?
You're kind of getting...
No, I'm okay. Fine.
Okay. I thought you were giving me a look like you only want to hear the creepy ones.
No.
Okay. Because no. I do enjoy the creepy ones. You know that.
No, you do.
But it's cool to get those into the mix like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do like those. 855-853-4802. Of course, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your stories, please do so. And please support the show, too. As you know, EPP, sign up to be one on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. That's what keeps this thing on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.